Lawyer, narrated by Leo Horn, for Cupido, in collaboration with Saga. The Lawyer, by Chris. There was a heat wave in May that summer when the lawyer moved in. My mother had been renting out the first floor for nearly 5 years ever since the divorce. The tenant, who turned up one afternoon, was in his 40s, immaculately and beautifully dressed in a charcoal grey suit and tightly knotted tie, his hair swept back. My mother mistakenly thought he was a concert musician owing to the violin case under his arm. "Music's just a hobby," he explained, reassuring us that we wouldn't be disturbed by any loud playing. He did look more like a lawyer, though, his shirt tightly buttoned and correct. I couldn't understand why he wasn't dying of the heat in that suit. "There's only my son living here, and me," my mother said, indicating me with one hand. "This is Jakob. He's 16, and he doesn't play loud enough to disturb anyone either," he assured him, winking at me. The lawyer gave me a firm handshake and presented himself. He moved all his things in the next day while I was at school, but I met him later in the evening in the garden beside the little steps up to the balcony. He was dragging up a large, old, brown suitcase of the type that somewhat resembled a coffin. It was reinforced with metal fittings and kitted out with a lock. I moved to one side so he could come past. "What have you got in there?" I asked, because I could see that it was heavy. He regarded me with a dark, knowing look, then bent down and whispered in my ear, "Tell me, do you know what killed the cat?" he asked. I felt his breath move away. The moment was over. He swung the case past me and started climbing the steps. I stood as if glued to the spot. He didn't remind me for 1 second of the man who had presented himself so formally the day before. From that moment, I had a growing suspicion that the lawyer was somebody completely different from who he pretended to be. I wonder why he decided to rent with us. Up until now, we'd only had a student, then a clairvoyant. "He's been thrown out," my mother guessed, "and his wife's kept their big villa in Hellerup. And he simply moved in here until he finds something more suitable or she takes him back," she smiled, satisfied. She loved working things out. It might have been a plausible explanation, and that's precisely why I didn't buy it. It was just too good to be true. Lawyer was too good a fit. Even his clothes fitted him like they had all been tailor-made. But after I met him by the steps, I was always on guard. If he had ever been married, the divorce was more likely to have been a murder by poison, followed by him burying his wife in the garden. He didn't fool me. There was something dangerous about him. Over the following days, I heard dragging sounds as if pulling a heavy box or suitcase across the floor. His workroom was immediately above my room, and right enough, we never heard him practicing his violin. However, we did occasionally hear the plaintive tones of such an instrument emanating from a CD player and seeping down between the floorboards. This filled me with a peculiar unease. One evening, a few weeks later, when I was sitting and reading in the garden, the heat had driven me into the shade, and suddenly I saw him standing on the balcony. He looked much more relaxed than he had done previously, still wearing his smart office trousers, but shirtless. He was wearing a white vest, and I could see that he was relatively muscular and supple.